Amen.
Yeah.
Wow. Jesus is alive and well. Let's pray. Father, just open our eyes tonight. Thank you that we have this promise that Jesus is alive and well, and we can believe your word.
Yes, yes.
Thank you, Lord, for your word. Teach us, show us, Lord, and we give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. Let's start tonight with a little humor.
Little humor.
A rather stingy man died and went to heaven. He was met at the front gate by St. Peter, who led him on a house tour down the golden streets. They passed mansion after beautiful mansion until they came to the end of the street and stopped in front of a tiny shack without gold paving in front. "And here's where you'll be living, sir," Peter announced. "Me live here?" the stingy man yelled. "How come?" Peter replied, "I did the best I could with the money you sent us." So what are we going to have, a mansion or a shack? Let's go to Malachi chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 8 through 11 and read them together up here. "Will a man rob God? Yet you say, you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now and then, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there will be not room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts." Amen. So we got a promise that he will rebuke the devourer for us if we don't rob tithes and offerings. Wow. I think that means the battery life in your car is extended. Things like that in today's world. We just, tires don't wear out quite as fast. I'm just thinking about cars because that's where my mind goes all the time.
And pipes don't burst.
Pardon me? Pipes don't burst?
Hallelujah.
Well, today I want to focus in on offerings. And then we'll end this batch of special services. I think we got plenty to meditate on. Yes. And it's been good, and I've enjoyed everyone that's come and the comments and listening to this old guy talking about something we know a little bit about, just a little bit. All of us can know more about it. Just if we believe Jesus is alive and well and his word is true. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Offerings, or sometimes it's called sowing a faith seed, is basically the same thing. You'll hear both of those things in a Christian environment, giving an offering and sowing a faith seed. It's taking what you have, what you possess, and giving it away. And there's no limit on the value of it. It could be worth very little, or it could be worth very whole lot. It's up to you and what you want to give. Mm-hmm. We could clarify these terms between the two by saying an offering is probably given out of your abundance, where a seed offering is usually given out of your personal need for something. You have a need. It may be the rent money next month. And you could give an offering for that to show up. In and somehow it does. Your seed could even be the last of your resources, like the biblical story of the woman who gave the two mites in the Bible. That's in Luke 21. Two mites, the smallest of coins, that's the last she had, but she gave it to the Lord. Amen? Mm-hmm. Shouldn't have drank that Coke before I started out here. With a seed offering, you are believing God with all your heart for a certain result from your sacrificial giving. It's a sacrifice that you're giving. Now remember, both the offering and the seed are your choice to give. God owns the tithe, that's 10% of your income, but you own the offering. And you have the choice concerning what you will do with it. It's yours. You don't have to give it away. Or you can give it away. It's yours to choose, yours to decide, yours to see what you want to do. Now, typically, God does not place any qualifications or demands upon you for an offering. But as we learned last Sunday, He has a designated methodology by which you will receive in response to that offering. Yes. Amen?
Amen?
Y'all remember us talking about that last week? The blessings that come your way come through your willingness to give offerings, and the Father carefully observes that. Now, at TPC, from the very beginning, and I never knew a church that did this, maybe there's some that do, but we made a provision to give tithes and offerings. It was on our envelopes. It's on our envelopes now. It used to be just what we spoke about, and the envelope just had a giving record. But it's been in my heart that we give offerings all that time. It's 30 years, and I think people have been typically pretty generous with us. We don't take the time for an official offering during the service, so you're either going to give or not give. I learned that a long time ago too. Passing the plate doesn't mean you're going to get any extra money. People either give or they don't. And each week the church determines the recipient of an offering for that particular Sunday. That doesn't mean you give to that and forget your tithe. You tithe, that's necessary. But the offering is that extra thing that we give to receive something back from, all right? And when the church decides what your offering is going to be, then we want it to be good seed. And we plant it in missionaries and ministries and things around here, kids, and the women, the men, good seed. So you always know if you give an offering here at the church, and that's not necessary. I like it, but it's not necessary. The offering can be anywhere, any place, any time. Okay? It's your decision because it's yours. We're just going to give you an opportunity. If something hadn't availed itself that week for you to give into, we want you to have the opportunity to give in at church. Amen? So that's why we designate that. Now, I've always found it interesting that when we have a need like a computer or church office equipment, something like that, and we don't get nothing in the office.
Don't say that.
Very little. But if we have a benevolent need, personal need with somebody, we get a great offering. And it always kind of baffled me, but last week I kind of got some clarification on that. And it's because the tithes are supposed to take care of the church. We shouldn't have to ask for an offering for a computer. There should be meat in my house for what this house needs.
That makes sense.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Alright. Alright, let's see. I think I told you that they say if everybody in the church would be on welfare and tithes, the church would have more money and know what to do with it. It's God's design, folks, and He wants His storehouse full. That's why I take seriously so much that He'd attack a 20% interest on top of missing a tithe payment. Wow. That's like credit card debt, isn't it? All right, in Galatians 6, verse 7, it says this. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7.
It says this.
It says that, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Money equals money. Kindness equals kindness. Love equals love. Mercy equals mercy. Hate equals hate. Negative equals negative. Whatever we sow, we'll also reap. This is not a threat from God. It's a clue for your success. Amen? Today you are reaping what you've already sown. Tomorrow you'll reap what you're sowing today. There are two kinds of people in the world, winners and losers. When the Kentucky Derby runs, there's 20 horses, 19 losers, one winner. And when you run in a marathon, there's 2,000 or 3,000 runners take part, 1,999 losers, one winner. And I'm saying this because overall, we don't mind losing much. We're in the majority. Constantly in the majority of being a loser. Okay, it's comfortable. That's where the majority of people are, and we have lots of company. But God said as a Christian, we would be the head and not the tail. So why do we go around looking at the tail? We need to be the head. And to be the head, that's your position in God. And it's not to strive or jockey for a position. It's all we're required of us is using God's wisdom and operate according to His plan. And we're going to be the head. Amen? Yes. Amen? Yes. Now, the crowd may be going in a different direction, but does that make it right?
No.
Would you follow the crowd to the slaughterhouse? When I was a kid, we had a slaughterhouse. It was a little ways away from us, but our bikes, we'd get there pretty quick. And once a week, they would have all these cows there, and they'd be eating. And then the next week, you didn't see any cow. And they all been put into the building and turned into steaks. But it was a cycle, and even as a kid, I noticed that. And you don't want to follow the crowd. You know? The crowd's wonderful right now. It ain't so good the next week. Amen. Yeah, you become a quarter pounder the next week. It's the same way with our blessings from God. We can remain the tail and catch a glimpse of a few blessings, folks. Or we can be the head that God intended and have so much we can't contain it. That's what we want.
Yeah.
Okay. Now our natural instinct is to listen to advice of the world. You know, that guy that really well off, what does he do with his money? What does he do here? You know, those people that we look up to, what's their advice? Well, we can follow that, and that's like following the world. We want God's advice. We want His plan. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Tonight I want to share with you a number of thoughts related to your faith, to your offerings and faith seeds. And it'd be too lengthy to expound on each one, so I'm just going to touch on them. But they all relate to how you can begin a life of faith and generosity. Remember, if you're a tither only, you have open windows over you, but perhaps less than full pockets. I believe we want them full to overflowing. Amen. And God wants that too. So let's determine to experience God's blessing pouring through these open windows so that we can have an abundance. And as a result, give even more into the kingdom of God. Amen.
Amen.
So I'll number these. There's quite a few of them. So number one, anyone can understand the principle of sowing and reaping. Mm-hmm. Anyone can understand the principle of sowing and reaping. God does not make a thing difficult for us to understand. He just doesn't. When you and I were in kindergarten, we took a Dixie cup and a bean seed. And we planted that bean seed and we watched that bean plant grow. Amen? We watched it grow and produce other seeds. That's sowing and reaping. Very easy. We worked an understanding of the principle of sowing and reaping. We don't need to be taught about it because we understand the concept. I got a little magazine article here I wanted to read about this, just a highlight out of it. For a number of years, trusted prophetic voices have warned Christians to get out of debt. Now, as the frailty of our entire economic system has been exposed, this warning packs fresh urgency, according to David Shibley, founding president of Global Advance, ministry that equips tens of thousands of church and business leaders in the world's neediest areas every year. Shibley offers some biblical advice for believers in any nation. In this fragile financial climate, some tend to hoard and stop giving. While this may seem to be a smart course in tight times, it's actually the worst possible strategy for protecting assets. God has woven the principle of sowing and reaping into the very fabric of the universe. The planting of seed is categorically required to bring life and growth. God has hardwired this planet and people so that failure to plant seed ensures barrenness and eventual death. What's that telling us, folks? Even in hard times, we've got to plant our seeds to have a harvest in the future. Number two. Anything in you desire in your future can be reaped by sowing now. Anything you desire in your future can be reaped by sowing now. A red hot marriage. Getting out of debt. Friends in your old age. Anything you desire in your life needs to be sown before it can be harvested. Believe you me, it won't just happen. It is necessary to plant it first. That's number two. Number three, there is someone or multiple someones in your life right now that define your giving field. There is someone or multiple someones in your life right now that define your giving field. They are in trouble or they have a need. God wants you to be a giver toward them. Money, lawnmower, smile, words of encouragement, prayer, babysitting, time, transportation. I guarantee that your giving field is already in your life. Now here's the problem. Psychologists will tell you that we naturally move away from people with problems. You know that's true. We don't like to get involved with problems because we have plenty of our own. Most of us are socially drawn to people that seem to have it all together. So God is trying to change our natural inclination. He's working on us to be that generous person, that giver, and the cheerful giver. That's why I keep moving people with problems in your direction, in case you wondered. Number four, anything that will bless can be your offering. Anything that will bless can be your offering. A smile, card, finances, words of encouragement, time, ride to church, mentoring, carpenter work, cleaning, paying for a doctor visit, sitting still and listening. These are a type of seed that you would probably like to see reproduced in your life. Anything that will bless, they are available for you to give away or for you to plant today, then they will produce a harvest for you in the future. What if I had a set of golf clubs? How many of you know that golf clubs would not bless me? I hadn't played golf in many, many years, so these golf clubs would be stored someplace and just deteriorate. Amen?
Yeah.
However, if I put them in the hands of a young man who'd been praying for golf clubs, then all kinds of things might develop. Amen. A young man would be blessed and I'd be overjoyed to watch his enthusiasm. Then I could expect a blessing to come back to me, something I needed, something I needed, something I would enjoy. Mm-hmm. Now for you skeptics, I could have sold the golf clubs and made some money. However, let me suggest that you never sell what you can sow.
Wow.
You never sell what you can sow. Amen. The money from the sales is all that you would gain. That's all you got. If you sell an item, your money is the most it will ever be. If you sow it, it's the least it'll ever be. God is the multiplier, and there are no limits on the future worth of your blessing. And it could go on for a long, long time. Number five. Sowing requires patience and persistence. Sowing requires patience and persistence. The book of Galatians tells us to keep on sowing. It's not a one-time act. God's design for you is a lifestyle. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, and let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Keep doing. Don't lose heart. Your blessings are on the way. All right, number six. Offering requires vision. Offerings require vision. How about asking the Lord to tell you what will bless someone? Many times you already have the offering, but you may not be aware of it till God reminds you. You need the Spirit to reveal to you what belongs in the life of another. Offering requires vision. Talk to God about it. If you've been a couple of days without giving an offering, getting dry, you need a vision. Number seven, very little produces much. Very little produces much. The mustard seed is a great big plant. The oak tree is the acorn. I don't have much, but with God it's enough.
That's right.
It's enough. Remember the story of the five fish and two loaves from the little boy in the Bible? He gave that young boy, he's willing to give his lunch as an offering. Jesus fed 5,000 and 12 baskets left over. By the way, I think that was for the disciples and their families. Just from the book of Jared. Nothing biblical about that. Even a small gift can produce much, folks. Amen?
Amen.
Unlimited, number eight, unlimited beginnings come from one seed. Unlimited beginnings come from one seed. I'm told that one seed can produce a plant with up to 500 seeds. Those 500 seeds can produce 500 plants with a total of 250,000 seeds, and on and on and on. Can you see the principle? If you have 24 hours in a day, you can plant one seed, or two seeds, or three seeds, or four seeds. Maybe even more. You get the picture. Number 9. Your life contains unique offerings that become problem solvers in other people's lives. Your life contains unique offerings that become problem solvers in other people's life. That's long, you want to say it again?
Please, please.
Your life contains unique offerings that become problem solvers in other people's lives. Please understand you cannot be responsible for everyone. Even Jesus stepped over sick people to get to the sick one at the pool of Bethesda. There are certain people who are destined to have their problems solved by you. Certain folks who are open to your offering. Now catch this thought. People are only remembered by the problems they solve or the problems they create.
That's true. Yeah.
People are only remembered by the problems they solve or the problems they create. So be a problem solver. Help you. Use your blessings to help others. Number 10, we talked about this last week a little bit. Give your gift to God. Give your gift to God. If you give to people and are looking for gratitude, you'll get disgusted and bitter. I was going to give her $10, but I don't know what she'd do with it. Folks, that's none of your business. None of your business. That's between her and God. Do not be concerned with the outcome. If you're prompted to give money, then just do it.
Can you give number 10 again?
Give your gift to God.
I still write number 9.
Tell me to slow down here, folks. We got enough time to go slower if you need it. Number 11. Your seed defeats your greed. Your seed defeats your greed. Your seed defeats your greed. As long as you hold it, whatever it is, it's yours. It belongs to you. In our society, we don't have to look far to see greed, from company executives to hoarders next door. Amen? Amen. Greed is a growing trend, and actually by nature, we're all greedy. But listen, saints, you are not greedy if you can let it go. You can let it go. You're not greedy. We have things under our beds. Our garages are full. Every closet is packed. Every cabinet and drawer is running over. We even rent storage buildings for all our stuff. Why? Men and women hoard. They want more. In fact, my truck is full of stuff that's going to Goodwill. So I can put other stuff that I got in where the primary stuff was. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
Exactly right.
Let me carry this thought a little bit further. Men hoard, Satan steals, and God gives. Men hoard, Satan steals, and God gives. Which one you want to be identified with? All right. Number 12. The greater the sowing, the greater the harvest. The greater the sowing, the greater the harvest. The more we're able to plant, the greater our reward. The greater the sowing, the greater the harvest. Number 13. Everything brings back a harvest. In including nothing. Everything brings back a harvest, including nothing. You have nothing because you sowed nothing. When you do not give, then you cannot receive. Look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Luke 6:38. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom or your house. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Give, and it will be given. Give nothing, nothing will be given. Number 14, sow without whining. Sow without whining. If you whine, it's an instant crop failure. Don't give grudgingly. God calls us to be cheerful givers. Amen.
Can you read that again?
Read it again.
Please.
Sow without whining. If you whine, it's an instant crop failure. Don't give grudgingly. God calls for us to be cheerful givers. Number 15. Refrain from conserving your resources when you have a need. Refrain from conserving your resources when you have a need. Many people mistakenly believe that it's not wise to give when they have a need of their own. However, this is one of the most important times to come to give an offering. And this is exactly what we call a faith seed. Given in your time of need for something that you have this need in your life, and it's critical. And you give sacrificially during this time. Give as unto the Lord, and let the offering be spiritually aimed at your particular need. And let's gain a new perspective of God's unlimited resources and His ability to multiply harvest just for you. All right, number 16. Nothing can stop your harvest. Nothing can stop your harvest. No devil, no man can hinder your upcoming harvest if you placed it in God's hands. Nothing can stop your harvest. No one will be able to steal your seeds, nor are they able to prevent your harvest. Number 17. And this one, it's been critical for me. Never debate or argue with the Holy Spirit about giving an offering. Just give. Never debate or argue with the Holy Spirit about giving an offering. Just give. Don't vacillate on your offering or second guess the Holy Spirit or try to argue with Him. You won't win. This is for your benefit, giving these gifts, giving these offerings, folks. And number 18, which is the last one. You have been someone's giving field all your life. You have been someone's giving field all your life. Most of your fears, inferiorities, strongholds, anger, your way of thinking, prejudices were sown into you by someone else. So pay close attention to what you sow into others. Your words are powerful seeds that can be sown for positive results or negative ones. For instance, my kids are never going to get saved. Or I know my kids are getting closer to Jesus. My husband is so stingy. Or my husband works so hard to provide for us and he's such a generous person. That son of mine is such a loser. My son did the sweetest thing for me the other day. My mother-in-law is the meanest woman on earth. I think I need to get to know my mother-in-law better. Maybe we should have lunch together. Pay attention to what you sow in the lives of others. The Bible teaches us that we should call things that are not as though they were. So start declaring good things. Sow those positive things so that they are positive results. Better yet, positive results coming back to you. Remember, we are sowing, then we are reaping. Sow first, reap second. Now I want to close with a scripture. We go pretty fast tonight. Yeah, I'll get you out early twice today. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. Let's read it together. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Good words to live by. Amen. Questions tonight? Y'all like the one about my mother-in-law is the meanest woman on earth.
Daughter-in-law.
Okay,
good. Thank you.
Joy doesn't say that about you, see.
No. So happy that. Yeah.
No, Joy says she's blessed.
Oh. Not the father-in-law thing might change. Yeah.
Well, we can understand that.
That's what I'm thinking.
We're blessed with Joy, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what I always think. You know, you always hear about mother-in-laws, right? I think about how great my in-laws have been and still are.
Amen.
They are very, very sweet people, but that's one of our goals, is, and has been for a long time, is that they would come to know Jesus.
Amen. Amen. My in-law is a top picket. He's an ornery old bird. He knows Jesus.
Thank you. That's
and his birthday's Thursday.
Wednesday.
He's going to be 99 years
that's
old.
That's just amazing.
He still lives by himself.
That is amazing.
Wow. I don't want to live that long personally.
I think I had some of the most wonderful in-laws.
I agree with you.
That anybody could have. And I think that I learned more in terms of love and giving, that charity about all things from your mom and dad.
That's sweet.
My mother and dad were unique, and my mother never knew how to drive, so my dad took her everywhere. You never saw them apart. And he'd come home from work, he had a supervisor position. He had to come home from work because Jerry busted his head open and needed to go to the emergency room. That's what he'd do. And he'd get me and my mother, we'd go to the emergency room. But you never saw them separated.
Well, I have the most thankful in-laws. Makes all the difference in the world.
Amen. Amen. Nothing else tonight? That's pretty self-explanatory, all these points, but they're important. And that guide us giving gifts.
I can remember when the kids were growing up, and we would have some major things come up. And we always kind of wondered, okay, how are we going to do this? But God would supply. I mean, it could be a really small thing, or it could be a big thing, but he would always supply what we needed. And I mean, I can't share enough about how much we've been blessed.
Amen. Amen. I agree with you. Our history of tithing, Bonnie and I were raised in a church-going family, even though we probably weren't. Well, I know we weren't living for God, but we, part of living on your own like that was tithing, because that was impressed in us, that was put in us. So we tithed when we were out in the world, because that's what you did. And God blessed it because we did it. And Bonnie was a stay-at-home mom all those years. Just blessing after blessing. I consider that because we've been tithers through the years. And some of you heard this testimony before, but I'm going to share it again. I remember my parents, this was before they used checks and credit cards and everything else, debit cards. They'd take cash from my dad's check. They'd cash the whole check. And they'd take cash and they'd take 10% of it, put it in an envelope. And my mother, this was her testimony, she'd never glue that envelope shut, just in case they needed it. And through her life, she lived to be 87 years old. Through her life, she never had to get into that envelope. That's something. That's neat. It's neat to have parents with testimonies like that.
Amen.
Yeah. We've heard a lot of testimonies through the years about people tithing. I remember Larry Zilke. I don't remember what happened, but something big happened and it cost him a lot of money. And he got an award from NASA. And at that time, they didn't do that with it. He was a contractor or something at that time. It was unheard of getting this reward, but he did, and it covered what he had to pay out. And he had just started committing to tithing. He had just begun that. And here was this bill, of course. You know, here's this gigantic need. So he had to pay that, and here comes the blessing back. That's so clear. He couldn't believe it. He saw it, you know, firsthand, and couldn't believe it.
But
that's what happened.
He's a generous fellow.
Yeah, Larry's generous. He is generous. You'll hear him on Sunday morning. Whatever the need is, whatever our offering is, you hear him. Turning Point Church. Turning Point Church. He's on his phone, and he's getting that web page, and he's putting in the offering right then. I don't think he wants to forget it.
How cool.
I said, Larry, you say something to me? No, I'm trying to get the church webpage. Well, anything else?
Pastor, just talking about Larry, when we flooded in Harvey, you know, Larry came over and helped him. He gave me a $500 check, just wrote me a $500 check, just give it to me. And just, like I said, that's the type of guy he is.
Yeah, and he's got it to give. And part of that's because it is reward.
Then you got to pay it forward, because when his brother had trouble in his shop, I give him $500 back to give to his brother. So you kind of pay it forward. You help people and then pay it forward.
Yeah.
I can remember being at Academy and I saw Joe and Carol. Next thing I know, they're buying Logan's bicycle for his birthday. So I'm not surprised it was received on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I love you.
Brother Jerry.
Yeah.
I wanted to tell you, I was going to tell you in private, but on that second lesson you did last week, the first time we heard this, which is about 5 years ago, I believe, Glenn and I sat down and we committed to do those steps. And we started with the biggest credit card first, like you said, and we paid that off. We paid off the next one, and God blessed us. I mean, we were tithing.
Mm-hmm.
Then we paid off the car, the truck, the house. So we're out of debt.
Amen.
As far as that goes. And we're able to do what God wants us. We're able to make that jump to do what he wants
us
to do.
Yep. Absolutely.
Thank you, Father.
At the same time, he's preparing him to go into ministry. Mm-hmm. And where that paycheck may not be the same every week.
Yeah.
May not even be a paycheck.
Yeah. Although he'll be blessed.
He'll be blessed.
Yep, you bet. You bet. Yep, if Jesus is still alive and well, he'll be blessed. Well, Brother Ralph, I'm about closing us with prayer tonight. Can you hear that?
Father God, we just thank you for this teaching tonight and the past 3 weeks. And it means so much to each one of us, this money study. And we just praise you and give you